Good morning and welcome to On Fire Radio, brought to you by Catskill Mountain Christian Center, a full gospel family church and Christian academy located at 629 Main Street in beautiful Margaretville, New York. What a great day to go to church. If you don't have a church, come on over to Catskill Mountain Christian Center. We would love for you to be our guest this morning. That's Catskill Mountain Christian Center this morning at 10 o'clock. If you'd like more information about On Fire Radio or Catskill Mountain Christian Center, give us a call at 845-586-4848. I'm Renard Bartow, and I'd like to invite you to join us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you On Fire Radio. Now let's go to Pastor Bob Engelhart with today's message.
So this first scripture I'm going to share, some of this I've shared before. It's not necessarily revelatory or new, but this is Joshua chapter 6, and this is Joshua is scouting out Jericho. It's before they attack Jericho, and he's kind of scouting out the land. And it says from the top of the chapter, "Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in." So the children of Israel came across the Jordan River and they encamped near Jericho, so they knew there was a war coming. Now let me tell you what I've heard about the city of Jericho. Those walls were so wide across that they had chariot races on top of the walls. I mean, you are talking about a mighty citadel, Jericho. And so what they did was they just shut the door. "Israel, you can stay out there all day. We're this city in here." And wait a minute. I started too far down. Let me start at chapter 5 and verse 10. It says, "The children of Israel camped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month twilight on the plains of Jericho. And then they ate the produce of the land of the on the day of the Passover of unleavened bread and parched grain on the very same day. Then the manna ceased on the day after they had eaten the produce of the land. And the children of Israel no longer had manna, but they ate the food of the land of Canaan that year." That's really amazing difference in the... They'd been eating manna for like 40 years or something, right? God had been providing supernatural food. Then no more manna came because now they could sustain themselves by the land. "And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, 'Are you for us or for our adversaries?'" Now Joshua was the commander. Moses had died at this point. Joshua was the commander. He basically says, "If you're for us, get behind me. If you're for our adversaries, I'm going to kill you." Because he came upon a man with his sword drawn. And it's basically what Joshua said. Joshua was a mighty man of war. He was very much a seasoned warrior, and he was the general at that point. "Are you for us, or are you for our adversaries?" That was the question. Want to know, are you for us, or are you for our adversaries? Because if you're for us, get behind me. Don't stand in front of me with your sword drawn, because that's insubordinate. If you're for our enemies, I'm going to kill you. So the man, I love when God blows off your question. I love when God just blows off your question. He just doesn't even bother to answer your question. Joshua said, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" He said, "No." He didn't say, "Yeah, I'm for you. Yeah, I'm on your side. I'm working on your side." He didn't say, "No, I'm for your enemies." He just said, "No." He said, "The question is wrong. The question is wrong. But as the commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." Basically saying, "You get behind me, pal." So the question is not, is God on our side? The question is not, is God on our side? Because we're Catskill Mountain Christian Center, so God is on our side. No! No! The question is, are you on his side? The question is, are you on his side? Are you involving yourself in his agenda? Does he want to bless you? No! No! Will he bless you? Absolutely. Because you're on his side, and everybody on his side gets blessed. If you're on his side, of course you're going to be blessed. Because everybody on his side, because he wins. And Joshua, come on, listen to this. Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshiped and said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" The king with a sword scoping Jericho, scoping it out, and he sees a man with a sword drawn. And he says, "Are you for us or are you for our enemies?" And God says, "No!" "But as the commander of the armies of the Lord, I have come." Joshua.
Yeah, exactly what he did.
What would you have your servant do? What would you have your servant do? Commander of the armies of the Lord.
Yeah.
Most theologians will call that a Christophany, a theophany.
Yeah.
It's like a pre-carnation of Jesus. Jesus in bodily form before he ever came to earth and was born by Mary. And the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and its mighty men of valor. They're dead. I am giving them into your hand. You shall march around the city. All you men of war, you shall go around the city once, and you shall do this 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But on the 7th day, you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets." My knees hurt from doing that. Ow. I don't think Joshua did. And it shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn. Paul, go get that. Go get that. Get that ram's horn in my office. When you're a pastor these days, you got to be ready with your ram's horn. And when you hear the sound of the trumpet, then all the people shall shout with a great shout, and then the wall of the city will fall down flat. And the people shall go, every man straight before him. Then Joshua, the son of Nun, called a priest and said to him, take up the Ark of the Covenant, and let the seven priests bear seven trumpets of the ram's horn before the Ark of the Lord. Anybody know how to blow one of these things? Do you? No? This is my rendition. Not exactly Louis Armstrong or Dizzy Gillespie. Said, you don't utter a word for 7 days. And after 7 days, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant stop and blow the shofar, blow the trumpet, blow the ram's horn 7 times, and those walls will fall down flat. Do you think that Joshua's men could make those walls fall down flat? What did they start with, a sledge at the bottom of the wall?
Right.
No, so it was angels.
Yes.
Knocked those walls down.
Yes.
The commander of the army of the Lord was looking over those walls and figuring out what angels needed to go where to find the spots, because those walls fell down flat.
Yeah.
They were mighty walls. You can't be afraid of the world. You cannot be afraid of the world. Jesus wins. You don't win. I don't win. Jesus wins. Are you for us or against us? No! But as the commander of the armies of the Lord, I have come. Who are you for? It's not who God is for. It's who are you for? I'm for Jesus. July 1991. I had been in the church where I got saved and found a church eventually in about a year and a half. We were in that church, and we were sent out of that church to Martyrville on the seventh day of the seventh month in the seventh year that we were in that church. We were sent out to pastor this church. And the walls must come down. And the walls must come down. And you know why they marched around in the wilderness for 40 years? So flesh could die. So unbelief could die. So they could suffer enough pain. So they could suffer enough hardship. That they became hardened warriors, and their faith was resolute. So it takes you a little while before you find yourself in the Lord. It takes you a while. Don't worry about it. Don't resent. Don't despise small beginnings. I just got started.
I got good scriptures left for you all.
Oh, I'm supposed to use the microphone. Yes, dear. I think that we have a lot of basic understanding of Christianity, but there are not too many people that can take a person who has deep and serious questions and go with them and take a walk with them into those questions and give them some feedback that will help them to find answers. We're in a season of unbelief, right? We're in a season of unbelief. And we're not, you know, the people before us were not any smarter than we are. We're not so smart, really. I don't think anybody in this room invented the nuclear bomb or, you know, came up with E equals MC squared. I mean, we know how to do our jobs. We know how to do what we have to, what we know how to do. But about life, about what makes life work, I don't, you know, there's some stuff we can learn. And the Bible provides for us a worldview that it can answer every question. And so that's we want to get into some of that. So you can have a real conversation with a real human being without being inside, you're freaking out and you want to run away, right? Because you don't really feel equipped to answer their questions. And most of their questions, very frankly, aren't that hard to answer. They really aren't. And most people won't keep going unless they really don't want to believe. They'll keep asking question after question. Yeah, how about this? Yeah, but how about this? How about this? If it's a true-hearted person, they ask the one question that they think that they're so smart that they're not believing Christianity, but when they've got this question, they know you're not going to have any answer for it. And then you give them a reasonable answer, they can get saved that fast. They'll change their mind that fast. I promise you, they'll change their mind that fast. They'll say, oh, I never realized there was this kind of intelligence in this belief system. The guy in my son David's church, his launch service, this guy was sitting down there. I was very suspicious of the guy. He looked so unchurchy. No, he looked almost too churchy-like. He was like a nerdy guy looking, right? And he had a black, what? He was 40 years old, had a black kind of a rumpled up suit and, you know, very kind of a conservative haircut, but not even a good conservative haircut, and big thick rimmed glasses, and he looked unhappy the entire service. He looked uncomfortable and unhappy, and he found a seat by himself where he wasn't near people. And when my son David preached a wonderful message on Abraham and folded in the gospel message, and when David asked if anybody, you know, anybody has never taken this step across the threshold and received Jesus as Lord and Savior, if you just would raise your hand. This guy went like this. I promise you. He ends up being a microbiologist at Columbia University. He has been an atheist his entire life. He was raised as an atheist. He's been an atheist his entire life. The microbiologist, PhD, double PhD, microbiologist, and said, I have never heard words like that before. You know, we think everybody's so smart because we're all so arrogant. You know what we say? You know, this is what we say. We've been to the moon. You have not. You have not. And if you have, if you're the moon pie, then bless your heart. You need some flowers in your hair or something. I don't know. You understand what I'm saying? We say, we've invented this. No. You know? So, you know, I'm just saying we're not as smart sometimes as we think we are. And so the people with their arrogance who walk around and feel like they know it all, and there can't be a God because we've been to the moon. No, they haven't. You know, and believe it or not, preaching the gospel is a blast. Seeing someone get saved, forget about it. It's the most fun ever. Amen. Listen, we got to take Jericho. We got to bring the strong man down. They're hiding behind their walls. They're walls of unbelief. They're walls of partying. They're walls of wealth making. They're walls of perversion. They're hiding behind the walls of the shame of their past. They're afraid we might be right. They're afraid that we may have truth here. Because it's going to mean change of a lifestyle. It's going to mean putting things away. It's going to mean repenting of your sins. But the wall will come down. By your power or my power? No. No. One of the scriptures that I had was when Peter and John were entering into the temple to worship, and the crippled man cried out to him, because he was a beggar. And Peter turns around, says, "Look at me," says to the guy, "Look at me. Silver and gold I have none, but what I have, I say to you, rise up and walk." The guy bounded up, danced around, and got Peter and John in a whole bunch of trouble. But you know what Peter said to him? "What do you think, by my power I did this?" Just read it sometime. Acts 4, something like that. Peter said, "What do you think, I did this?" This is the power of the name of Jesus Christ, who you crucified. He has done this. Are you for us or are you for our enemies? No. We're behind Jesus. He is the commander of the armies of the Lord. And we got some work to do. I love Braveheart when he says, I'm going to pick a fight. I don't know if you remember that. He's on his horse and his guys are lined up. He says, I wish I had a nice Scottish brogue. We're going to pick a fight. And is that a physical fight? No. It's the fight of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's loving your neighbor as yourself. It's laying your life down for your friend. It's turning the other cheek. It's loving the brethren. Yeah? So, Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you. Even as the ram's horn was blown today, Lord God, we just ask, Father God, that the walls of resistance would come tumbling down, and that you would come and you would fill us with your Spirit and give us power, give us strength, give us the resolute heart, Father God, that we can stand in you in this day, in this hour. We're not going to put our faith in President Trump or in Senator Schumer or in any other political type's name. We'll put our faith and our trust in you, because only you can save us from our sins. Only you can deliver us from the things those sins that so easily beset us. And we love you and praise you today. And as in our souls that trumpet continues to blow, that the walls that would resist us would begin to tumble down even now. Father, we ask you in Jesus' name. We thank you ahead of time for 2019, year of the Lord. Father, come, fill us with your Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.
Happy New Year.
Hello, my name is Jacob Johnson, and I want to thank you for listening to On Fire Radio today. Pastor Bob shared a message entitled, Ask the Right Question. The title for this message is based out of the text from Joshua chapter 5. From verse 13 it reads, And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said, Are you for us or are you for our adversaries? So he said, No, but as the commander of the armies of the Lord, I have now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, What does my Lord say to his servant? After this, the Lord would give Joshua the blueprint to defeating Jericho. With context to the text now, it almost seems like Joshua jumped the gun in confronting the Lord. But in all honesty, I think that sometimes we can actually act this way in our lives as well. We at times come before the Lord or people that the Lord has placed in our lives and automatically put our defenses up, just like Joshua did. Are you for us or are you for our adversaries? Are you for me or are you against me? But that question is wrong. The real question we should be asking is not, is God for me or against me? We need to ask ourselves, are we for God or are we against God? Often, there is a time in our lives that is similar to what Joshua experienced here. God reveals himself to us, and we have a choice to make. Do we humble ourselves before him and worship him, or do we reject him? I want to tell you today that you have the opportunity to meet with God, to place your faith in him as your Lord and Savior today. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, I recognize that I am a sinner. I repent for my sinful ways, and I place my faith in you today. I believe you lived a perfect life and died on a cross so that I may have eternal life in heaven. Fill me with the power of the Holy Spirit now. Father, thank you for sending Jesus as a sacrifice for my sins. And Jesus, I thank you for dying for me. In your name I pray, amen. If you prayed that prayer with me, I'd encourage you to get a Bible, start a prayer life, and find a Bible-believing church. If you don't have a church, we would love to have you visit Catskill Mountain Christian Center at 629 Main Street in Margaretville, New York. On Fire Radio is a ministry of Catskill Mountain Christian Center and is brought to you free and online each week thanks to generous donations from listeners like you. Over the past year of 2018, On Fire Radio has reached thousands through the radio and through our online platforms. Would you consider giving a gift today to advance the work of spreading God's word? You can give online by going to www.cmcconline.org. Again, that website to give is www.cmcconline.org. On Fire Radio is a ministry of Catskill Mountain Christian Center, and you can find out more about CMCC, On Fire Radio, and our other ministries by going to www.cmcconline.org. On behalf of Pastor Bob Englehart, this is Jake Johnson signing off. Happy New Year, God bless, and we'll see you in church.